Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we're happy to welcome back today the West Texas Regional Urban Forester, Mickey Merritt. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're obviously going to be talking some more about trees today. And so we talked a little bit maybe about we talked a lot about trees last week, but we want to talk more about maybe what you're going to look for when you have finally decided on what kind of tree you are going to select for your landscape. What do homeowners need to know when they are out selecting that particular tree?
Well, first of all, most of a tree's problems start within the root system. That's a place that we really don't understand a lot of because it's below ground, so we don't see it. Most of the trees sold in Texas now are in containers, what we call containers. Very few bare root, very few ball and burlap. So I'm speaking mainly of containerized trees right now. We should go in and don't be afraid to pull the tree out of the pot, because that's really what you want to concentrate on is the root system. You want to see if there's girdling roots or circling roots. And if there are, then you should stay away from those. And those are basically roots that just keep on going in a circle. They just grow in a circle. And they can really get tight within that pot. And that's normally because they were left in the pot too long. And when you plant them in the ground, they still have a tendency to circle and to girdle. So you want to stay away from those trees if at all possible. And then make sure the trunk is a straight trunk, single trunk, unless the species is kind of is known for multi-trunk trees like a vitex or a crepe myrtle. But in general, you want a straight trunk. You don't want codominant stems, which are basically two stems of about the same size. You want one dominant leader. Foliage needs to be really green and healthy looking, no spots, no burns. And you want evenly spaced branching throughout the crown.
One thing that I have seen, unfortunately, too many times in this city, and I'm pretty sure it's not just for here in El Paso, but I have seen where the ratio of trunk to canopy is so huge where it just looks like a lollipop, mm-hmm. where you have just so much trunk, long, and then you got a little tuft of foliage up on top. You don't want to buy those.
No, you want evenly spaced limbs, but you want also foliage throughout the crown. Yeah, you definitely don't want a lollipop. You also don't want a tree that has been shaped at the top to make that more rounded look. Again, you want one central dominant leader, and you don't want it to be codominant.
So I know that you use a really nice graphic when you're talking to volunteers and to different green volunteer groups around town. Is as far as letters, like U versus V shape cuts, can you describe that over the radio?
That's more in pruning of the trees, but you want a good limb connection, mm-hmm. a good strong limb connection. And generally speaking, the more of a U-shaped the connection is, the stronger it is. The more of a V-shape or tighter connection, mm-hmm. the weaker it is. So you want to make sure that it does have a good U-shaped strong connection to the trunk of the tree.
I've had experience with Palo Verdes in the past where when they're growing, they do have that very tight sort of V-shaped formation. And I think, well, the one that I had, the Desert Museum Palo Verde, required quite a bit of pruning every year just to make sure that I would, you know, keep it sort of open spaced and there weren't any very tight groupings of branches.
Right. Some species are famous for that. And you get a lot of what's called included bark in that, and where its bark is touching on bark. Not really mm-hmm. the limb tissue and the trunk tissue together. Hackberry, mulberry, pear are real famous for having those tight V-shaped and included bark. And they can be fixed and trained, but you have to start at a very early age. Usually by the time it creates a problem, most people are unaware of what's going on, and so they don't really trim to correct that type of issue.
Well, we'll go back to pruning here in a little bit, but let's go back to maybe going to that tree selection. I know a lot of times when people buy trees, they'll find them already staked. And I have seen, again, like those lollipop trees where sometimes that trunk is so slender that if you were to take those stakes out, it would pretty much just flop over. And people might think, well, I'll just put it in my tree, keep it staked, and it'll get bigger and I won't need to stake it anymore. But when you have a tree that long and slender, is there really any chance of it being trained off a stake?
Yes, fairly easily, actually. For one, if you buy the right tree, then you don't need to stake it. But if the tree you're describing, you can stake it in the ground, but leave a lot of play into it and let that tree sway back and forth in the wind, because it creates taper and reaction wood within the trunk of the tree, and that gives it strength. So in nature, a tree automatically or sways back and forth in the wind, and it creates that reaction wood and gives that trunk strength. And so we want to try to mimic that if it doesn't have any. And if you are going to stake it real loosely, let it sway back and forth, and only stake it for about a year. Then you can remove the stakes.
And going to tree size when you're selecting your tree, a lot of times people want that big tree right away in their yard. And you were talking about the root balls. And when those large trees are being, I guess, harvested for transport, they're going to cut off all of those really important feeder roots that that tree had been investing. So maybe by the time you get that really large tree in your yard, it might not be as successful as you had hoped.
Well, if it's done correctly, it can be. But that's a real expensive process.
Yeah.
And so you get what you pay for in the tree industry. And so if you're doing a tree spaded tree with a large root mm-hmm. ball, it's best to go in and prune those roots a couple of months beforehand, and what's called curing. Let that root ball cure and those roots to regenerate somewhat, and then move it. If you're just moving it, picking it up and moving it, you have to have a real good maintenance plan for that, follow-up maintenance. You just can't plant that tree and then leave it alone, because it has lost a significant amount of root system, and so it does need the watering and the other maintenance that goes along with it.
Well, one thing that I kind of bothers me when I see people at nurseries, and they'll kind of like have a few trees, like they'll pull out like a tree that they want, and they'll like look at them and start comparing them. And it's this really skinny, like probably like, I don't know, I'm going to exaggerate, like half an inch caliber. No, a really small tree. It's just really so spindly. And you need to really look, and they go with the price point. They go with the fact that they're going to get the 1 year
guarantee
yeah. that mm-hmm. it's going to look at. And I think that when you really buy a tree, you're looking at the long-term benefit to your landscape. So, I mean, if you're really looking and you're really serious, don't go for price. Look for quality. Look exactly for the tree, the health that it comes in for the nursery. And then sometimes, you know, you get these people that they'll bump up the trees when they're not ready, you know, just to increase that price size. But I just think you just can't overlook that quality of the tree that's in there, because that's the entire life of the tree. It's telling you what it's gone through. And when you just take it home and just expect that it's not going to last, or don't really care about that, I mean, that's something that you really have to take seriously, in my opinion. We do a lot of damage. We have a society here just disposing things and throwing them away. So as far as choosing your tree, once you get that tree selected, Mickey, and then you decide, okay, this is a tree that's coming home with me, I mean, do you need to know exactly where you're going to put it and how to prepare that? Are you going to let it sit on your porch or on the side
Until
of your
you
house?
You can find somebody to dig a hole for
yeah,
you,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that gets back to the site.
Right.
And once you look at your site and decide what type of tree that site can support, and then you go out and select your tree, you really need to be able to plant it when you get home. Don't let it sit on the front or back porch. And if it does have to sit a day or two, make sure you water it. Because in the nursery, it's being watered a couple of times a day. It's being heavily fertilized. So you want to make sure you're prepared to get home and plant it. Usually you want the tree, the hole, to be not quite as deep as the root ball. You want the root ball to sit up about an inch or two above grade. But you want the hole wide, probably about twice as wide as the root ball. And then we normally don't recommend adding any special backfill. Just the original soil that was dug out of the hole is usually sufficient. Water it in. For newly planted trees, we recommend about 8 to 10 gallons per inch of caliper once a week, or we cut that back a little bit, about 5 to 8 gallons per inch caliper, 2 to 3 times a week.
So define caliper.
Caliper is more of a nursery term. From 0 to 4 inches, it's taken at 6 inches above the root ball. From 4 to 8 inches, it's taken a foot above the root ball. In forestry, we use diameter, which is at 4.5 feet. But in the nursery industry, they usually use caliper.
As far as that, I've seen a lot of trees that are planted too deep in areas. So, you know, at the end, once you plant that tree in the ground, you know, you need to start see that flare, right? Because you don't want to just see the straight trunk on
right.
there.
Right. It's called a root collar. Uh-huh. And that, when I said you want the top of the root ball about an inch or two, that's really you want the root collar an inch or two above the grain.
Okay.
And I'm sure there are really great diagrams of these images that we're trying to portray on the radio that we're going to go ahead and share on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And we've got some great links that I'm sure have a lot of terrific tips on there. We did briefly touch upon pruning a little earlier in the show, but this is still a good time to prune right now?
Yes, this is a good time to prune. Studies are showing now, we say anytime during the winter. Late winter is what we're really looking at as the best time to prune now because the wound doesn't sit there as long. It's not open as long. And when the tree starts actively growing again, then it starts that compartmentalization process and that callusing over.
Well, we've got maybe about a couple more minutes left in the show. So I understand there's a big tree registry for the state of Texas that you sort of want to downsize a little bit more to the size of the county. But first, tell us a little bit more about this big tree registry.
Great. Well, there's a National Big Tree Registry that's sponsored by American Forest. That's a nonprofit, national nonprofit. And then the State Big Tree Registry is sponsored by the Texas A&M Forest Service. And we go throughout the state and measure the trees, the largest trees of each species within the state, native or naturalized. What I'd like to see, and I'm working with the West Texas Urban Forestry Council on, is maybe downsizing that a little bit to have an El Paso County Tree Registry. We would list the largest trees of each species in El Paso County, plus some notable trees. So instead of just having only the champions, we would have, hey, you're a champion. And this one might not be a champion, but it's really, really big.
Well, we're pretty much coming down to the end of our show, and there's still so much that we could talk about when it comes to trees. But we do want to encourage our listeners to visit the Good to Grow page. We have a lot of really terrific links on tree care, on tree selection, digging holes, how to dig to deep, and how to stake your tree if you need to do that. All of that information, all the links we'll have for you on the Good to Grow page should surely help you out. And I will also have a link to the West Texas Urban Forestry Council on Facebook, where you can like them on Facebook, and you can actually direct questions to them via their Facebook page. And, of course, the Master Gardeners are also on hand to try to do their best to solve your problems.
We work very closely with the Urban Forestry Council, so anybody that's promoting trees and urban canopy, we're right there with them.
Questions can be taken at 771-2354, 771-2354. Mickey Merritt is the West Texas Regional Urban Forester. We want to thank you so much for coming back to our show. Hopefully we'll have you back.
I hope so. Thank you.
I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
We want to thank our engineer, Felipe Talavera, and our producer, Evan Walsh. And we want to thank you for listening. And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.